morning, ain't it? God is good. And all the time. Tuesday evening, westbound I-70, listening to the Patriot radio station. About missed my exit. Got on off my exit at Oakley, Kansas. Got on Highway 40. I would run Highway 40 from Oakley, Kansas for just short of 2 hours to Cheyenne Wells, Colorado. If you've never been on Highway 40 between Oakley, Kansas and Cheyenne Wells, Colorado, you've not missed nothing. I think I counted, Terry, 4 cars. I don't think I got to 6 houses. It was a prairie in the midst of a drought. It was ugly. Now, when I exited off there, the radio station, it wasn't very long, it was gone. Man, Ashley's charger, so there's 2 little arrows on the right. I hit that, not a problem. And it went from 88, I think was the lowest number on there, plumb up to 107 and started again. It was never stopping. And after it done that 3 or 4 times, I thought, well, that don't surprise me that there's not a radio station that reaches out here. I'm in the middle of nowhere. And so as I'm driving across there, I begin to think of all the scenery I was looking at, and I begin to think about old Trey. He loves the mountains. He don't care if it's Montana, Colorado, Wyoming. It doesn't matter. And when he's there, he'll be snapping pictures of the mountains and the river, and he'll be posting them, and he'll be thanking God for creation. And I begin to think about how he loves the mountain, and there's those who love to go to the ocean. And they can sit on the beaches, and they can take pictures of a vast ocean, and they'll catch a sunrise or a sunset, and they'll make them a post on Facebook, and they'll just ooh and ah and thank God for his creation. Then I got to thinking about how Gerald Barnhart takes a picture of the sunrise every morning, and it's a witnessing tool for him, and he thanks God for that beautiful sunrise. Others do that with the sunset. Just last night, Brandon Hamilton took a picture of one of our local lakes with the sun setting, and man, it's just good to be a part of God's creation in our area. We got lots of lakes, right? I've never seen anybody take a picture on Highway 40 between Oakley, Kansas, and Cheyenne Wells, Colorado. But God still created it. And so it's trying to search for this radio station again and again and again. And I'm thinking on this Highway 40 between Oakley, Kansas, and Cheyenne Wells, Colorado, this feels like life right now. With all the goings on in Afghanistan, the political clout, the viruses, our economics, just everything. Sure don't seem like the mountains. Sure don't seem like the beaches. Life seems like Highway 40 between Oakley, Kansas and Cheyenne Wells, Colorado. That's what it seems like. And so I'm just driving across there, and you know, I don't mind going alone. Many people say, who's going with you? You don't need to go by yourself. And let me just tell you something. I don't never mind going alone, because even when you go alone, you're never alone. Catch that statement. I don't mind going alone, because when you go alone, you're never alone. And all of a sudden, in what seemed like the middle of nowhere on a Kansas prairie, all of a sudden, with me not paying attention, pow, here come these words out of that radio. Here's what I heard, seeing what I was seeing. You ready? Sometimes I wonder if you're faithful. Does he see me in my trouble? Does he understand? Sometimes I question, is he able? Can he rescue? Can he save me? Again and again. When I look back, and here's the words I heard. Did he move every mountain? Did he part every sea? Yes, he did. So yes, he can. Did he defeat the darkness? Did he deliver me? Yes, he did. So yes, he can. Yes, he did. So yes, he can. In the middle of nowhere, the song went on. Sometimes those voices try to tell me I'm forgotten and I'm fallen. Too far from his hands. But I know what kind of God he is, and I'm trusting his promises. I'm believing and I'm singing, yes, he can. Did he move every mountain? Did he part every sea? Yes, he did. So yes, he can. Did he defeat darkness? Did he deliver me? Yes, he did. So yes, he can. Yes, he did. So yes, he can. The words continued in the middle of nowhere. 'Cause I've seen too much, now I can't deny. He come through every single time from the beginning to the end. He did. He will. He can. Did he move every mountain? Did he part every sea? Yes, he did. So yes, he can. Did he defeat darkness? Did he deliver me? Yes, he did. So yes, he can. Yes, he did. So yes, he can. And in the closing of the songs, repeated that again. Did he move every mountain? Yes, he did. Did he part every sea? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So yes, he can. Did he defeat darkness? Did he deliver me? Yes, he did. So yes, he can. Yes, he did. So yes, he can. And in a world that feels like a Highway 40 between an Oakley, Kansas and a Cheyenne Wells, Colorado, don't ever forget, yes, he did. And yes, he can. Driving across there, I begin to think about Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8 as that song ended. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who was, who is, and is to come. I thought about he's the Alpha and he's the Omega. And right out here in the middle of this, we can still give him praise, and it's as simple as ABC. I can't speak much on the Greek alphabet, the Alpha to the Omega, but I can speak from A to Z in the English alphabet. And when life feels to you like Highway 40 between Oakley, Kansas and Cheyenne Wells, Colorado, I would encourage you to worship him, and it's as simple as ABC. Driving across there, I begin to think about the Abel. Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything that I think and ask. I begin to think about the Hebrew writer in chapter 7 and verse 25 when it says he is able to save to the uttermost, to those who come to God through him. I begin to think about how he's able to secure, because Paul told Timothy, I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded, listen to this, that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. See, in the middle of nowhere, when I'm struggling to see the faithfulness and the goodness of God, I can think back about one Tuesday morning to he who is able to save and he who's able to secure, and I begin to thank God that he's able to keep a hold of me, because I'm not able to keep a hold of him, and my security and my place in heaven is not dependent upon me being able. It's dependent upon him being able. And I begin to praise him with the A. He is able. And then I began to get to the bee. I'm just getting started, man. He is the bread of life. And he says that in John chapter 6, verse 35. I'm the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And he don't even go but a few verses later, and he says, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And listen, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And I get to thinking about these low-carb diets, and I begin to look at the pizza place when they scrape all the toppings off and they leave the crust. And I begin to watch in Colorado on sandwich night how one that was a little heavy left off the bread and just ate the meat and the cheese. And I got to thinking about, hey, it's all right to be on a low-carb diet spiritually or physically, but don't get on a low-carb diet spiritually. Man, don't leave out the bread, because we need to feast on the one who said, I'm the bread of life. Amen. And then we come to the sea, and I begin to think, out there in that prairie, even on Highway 40 between Oakley, Kansas and Cheyenne Wells, Colorado, he's creator. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And then you tie that with John chapter 1 verse 1. It says, in the beginning, he was the Word. In the beginning, he was with God. And it says, and the Word was God. And listen, it goes on and says, he was in the beginning with God. But don't miss this. All things were made through him, and nothing that's made was made without him. And then you think about Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him all things are created in the heavens and the earth. What you see, the visible and the invisible, whether it's thrones and dominions, principalities or power, all things was created by him and for him. And as I was on that highway, listen to what I got to thinking. I've often said it's his hands that scoop out the sea. I've often said it's his hands that heap up the hills. It's his hands that fling the stars into the sky. It's his hands that carve out those mountains. It's his hands that paints the sun rises and the sun sets. But out there on Highway 40, I realize it's also his hands that pat down the prairies. And we need to understand he is creator of all things. He's sitting on the second row. His name's Trenton. He's my middle child, youngest boy. He took the job as a science teacher. He better not call Dad for help. Seventh grade science teacher. I walked by him one day and he was telling somebody he got that job. I don't know who it was, but I heard the question posed to him. What are you going to do when they make you teach evolution? Now, if that had been a lot of people and posed that question to somebody, I'd have hit stop and I'd have leant back an ear to hear. I never broke stride because I knew the answer. I will never teach evolution because I believe there's a creator. I don't know if that was his answer, but I'm telling you, if you're a teacher, you ought not teach evolution. You ought to teach there is a creator, and in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. Man, praising him is as simple as ABC, but then we go on to the D. And I began to think, man, he's the deliverer. The psalmist in chapter 18, verse 2, he said, the Lord, he's my rock, he is my fortress, and he is my what? Deliverer. I want you to think about that. You talk about giving praise on the D, he's the deliverer. Think about those children of Israel being in Egypt for 400 years, and then one day God hears something. And what does he hear? He hears them crying, Brother David. They're in bondage. They're in slavery. And what does God do? He dispatches his man Moses to go what? To go get them and deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians. And I began to give him praise. And then I got to thinking about, man, he's the deliverer. There's Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And they're going to get thrown into the fiery furnace because they won't bow and worship the statue. And the king says to them, who's going to be able to deliver you? And they said, our God is. But if he don't, we're still not bound down. They turned the furnace up seven times hotter than it ought to be. They throwed them in there and they began to look in there. And I'm going to tell you, the Son of God showed up and he delivered those three Hebrew boys through the fire. Man, Daniel, just a few chapters later, was told, you can't pray. You don't pray. You don't make homage to anybody but the king. But listen, as his custom was, he was a prayer warrior and he didn't change. Morning, noon, and night, he began to pray. They spotted him. And what was the repercussions of praying? You're going to get thrown into the lion's den. And let me just tell you, he got thrown into the lion's den. But the next morning, the king showed up, peeked off in there to expect blood to be over the lion's mouth. But he looked down there and there wasn't one drop of blood. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, delivered Daniel through the lion's den. My dear friends, listen to me. We can give him praise and we can give him glory because he's the deliverer. Amen. Won't you guys just praise him a while? Let me catch my breath. I'm out of shape. And it's laying on my back's getting me. You come to the E. You think about Isaiah chapter 9. And he prophesied, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. And won't you be glad when this day comes and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And listen, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. And here it is, Everlasting Father. The E is Everlasting Father. And I want to tell you something, my dear friends. My Bible says he's a father to the fatherless. And sometimes we have earthly fathers that leave and forsake us, but he's the everlasting father, and he don't do that. I shared with you last week, Dusty Fuller, a good friend of mine, his Facebook post said, I just want to say, 5 years ago today, my earthly father, Red Fuller, died. He adopted me when I was 2 months old. 19 years old, I was adopted by my heavenly father, and because of that adoption, I'll see my earthly father again. So look up here. We can give him praise because he adopted us as sons, and we can have an eternal home with an everlasting father. Amen. But on the E, I kind of got hung up on a Hebrew word. I thought El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Now, just in your sanctified imagination, think about Almighty God standing before Abraham at 99 years old, who he had already given him a promise, you're going to be the father of all the nations. And Abraham stands before God and God says, I'm Almighty God, because Abraham was questioning. Now, if we were standing there and we was reading our English Bible, that's what he said. But if we were standing there that day, it wouldn't have been in English. If we were standing there that day and we would have saw Abraham at 99 years old questioning the promise of God, we would have seen God step up before him and say, I'm El Shaddai. I'm the Mighty One. I'm the all-sufficient one. In other words, I'm El Shaddai. There's nothing too hard for me. When it comes to E, just remember he's everlasting father. But don't forget in the Hebrew, he's El Shaddai. He's the mighty one. He's the all-sufficient one. And then we come to the F. And the first words was, in that song, he questioned his faithfulness. So when it come to the F, I had to use faithful. And we need to, in these last days, take the advice or the commands, if you will, of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Let me say that again. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why do we not waver? Because the rest of the verse. Because he who promised is faithful. Think about what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. For every promise is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So you want to just get more frustrated at Google and the stuff you find on the computer? I'll give you one. Go ahead and Google how many promises are tucked away in the Bible. Let me tell you how broad your answer is going to be. You ready? The lowest number you're going to get is 3,000. The highest number is going to be 30,000. Now, I'm just a realist. I'm not a pessimist. But I find it hard to believe there's 30,000 promises when there's only 31,173 verses. I'm just a realist. I'm not saying there's not 30,000, but just keep in mind there's only 31,173 verses. So what I'm saying to you, I've not counted them, and Google don't know. But what I am telling you, every one you find in there, it's yes and amen, because he who promised is faithful. Man, we just keep going praising Him through the ABCs. Now we come to G. And man, when you open your Bible, it's easy to praise Him with G to John chapter 10 and verse 11 because the letters are read and it's Him talking. And He says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives His life for His sheep. And if that ain't enough for you to keep praising Him, you'll read just about 7 verses later that no one takes His life, but He lays it down for them. And man, when I get to going to the G and the good shepherd, no man takes His life. In my sanctified imagination, I've spoke of it recently, when He goes out in with His 12, and here comes those who's going to arrest Him. He's betrayed by a kiss by one He loved. And the minute that happens, they try to take Him. And old Peter whoops out the sword, lops an ear off, falls to the ground. Can't you just see Jesus bending down on a good hip, not a bad one, having to stretch out. Pick that ear back up and slap it right back on, looking at Peter, kind of reprimanding him, saying, listen, man, you're going to live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. And then turns to all for them to hear Him. Do you not know this very second I could pray to my Father in heaven and He would send 12 legions of angels, which equals 72,000 angels armed and ready to wipe them out like a nuclear bomb? But I'm telling you, the reason He didn't do that is because you and me are sheep that had gone astray. We was lost and wandering, and He knew that we needed a good shepherd to lay down His life for us. And I give Him praise because I was that sheep and now He's my good shepherd. And then we come to the H. We go back to the psalmist in chapter 46 and we're reminded He's our help. Because verse 1 says, God is our refuge, He's our strength, and He's our very present, say it with me, help in the time of trouble. He's our very present, say it with me, help. You're not saying it with me. He's our very present help in the time of trouble. Now let me just ask you something. Are you like me in that when you find yourself in trouble, there's really nobody to blame but yourself? And even when there's no one to blame but yourself, aren't you glad you can still look up to heaven and say help? Now let me tell you about little T.L. He's learned that word. Little T.L. He's already learned that word, help. See, if I'm over around mom and dad's, his pawpaw and granny that's keeping him, if I'm over around there and I've been on this hip too long, ice is definitely my best friend. I'll go in, I'll get the ice pack, and I'll go to that couch in the back of their den, and I'll lay down, and I'll undo them pants and slide that ice pack right in there on that hip. And boy, does it, ooh, I feel good, that song. We could sing it, Dave. Well, old T.L., he packed my ice to me the other day. I laid down, I undone the pants he handed to me, and I slid it in there, and, you know, he went to the other end of the couch and he crawled up on the couch. He seen me laying there and he laid down on the opposite end looking at me through his eyelids. He's laying down with me. Well, man, that wasn't near close enough to pass Paul, so he gets up and makes his way down. It's a couch and he's on my left side. That's the bad hip side. And he wants to waller a little bit and he wants to lay there on me. And then he spotted in that windowsill that's about that far above the back of the couch, he spotted those frogs that my mom has in the windowsill. So he gets up and he can barely reach him, and he gets him down. He said, Pastor Paul, frogs. And I said, yeah. He throwed that over there. And here in a minute, he began to crawl up the back of that couch. He began to get on the back of that couch with his knees. He's crawling on the furniture. And some of you would say a good Pastor Paul would not let him crawl on the furniture. I'm still trying to determine whether I'm a good Pastor Paul or not. And so I let him crawl, and pretty soon he got on the back of the couch with his feet. Then he began to put his knee in that windowsill that was only about that wide. And he got his knee in it, and he got up there on his knees. And I started to say something, and I thought, I'm just going to let him go. I'm going to see how far he goes. And it wasn't just but a second. Little T.L. was standing on his feet in that windowsill. And it was a small window because when he wanted to lean in and not feel the danger of falling backwards, he couldn't because his head would hit the top of the window. And so if you can picture, if you will, him standing in that windowsill, his head trying to lean down, he was in somewhat of a bind. And I watched him try to take his feet and come down, and then he'd get back a hold. He realized he was in trouble. And he looked back the best he could, and he said, "Pastor Paul, help." And how many of you know I didn't say, "You got up there, get down, boy"? How many of you know I got up and I helped him down? Folks, when you praise the Lord with the ABCs, when you come to the H, you better realize a lot of times we need help because we've got ourselves in trouble. And we've got a God in heaven that never says, "Too bad you got there yourself." We've got a God in heaven that's quick to come and help us out of the situation that we've got ourselves in. We ought to just go ahead and give Him praise because He's our help. And then I come to the I, and I've got to give Him praise. And man, I'm thinking He forever lives to intercede for us. And I'm thinking, but man, I just got hung up on Emmanuel. Because Isaiah, the prince of the prophets, starts with I, and he's the one that said, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive, bear a son, you shall call his name Emmanuel." All these hundreds of years later, guess what? The angel shows up and says, "Hey, the virgin, you're going to conceive, you're going to bear a son, and you're going to call his name Emmanuel," which translates what? God with us. And so the minute I begin to praise Him, Emmanuel, I begin to think about another song that we hear often around Christmas. Maybe you'll recognize the words. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Mary, did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? Mary, did you know your little baby boy, the child that you delivered, will someday deliver you? Mary, did you know your little baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know your little baby boy would calm the seas with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy, listen to this, has walked where the angels trod? Did you know when you kiss your little baby, you have kissed the face of God?" Man, I begin to praise Him about the greatest gift that's ever been given, and it wasn't wrapped in wrapping paper. It was when God Almighty wrapped Himself in human flesh and give us the greatest gift that's ever been given. We must move on if we're going to praise Him through the ABCs, because we're only at J. When it comes to J, I begin to think He's Judge. Because John chapter 5, the Father judges no one, but He's committed all judgment to the Son. Now, a lot of times I ask a question and you sit there with a blank look, Keota Newgate face. And I have to remind you what? It's not loaded. It's not loaded. Answer it. Right? Some of you been here enough, and was you asleep during that, or you remember me doing that occasionally? So it's going to be different today. Are you ready? I'm fixing to ask you a question. It's loaded. Be careful with it. It's loaded. Here's the question. Do all roads lead to God? Before you shake your head, yes or no, it's loaded. And it's loaded for bear. Does all roads lead to God? Yes. Had you asked me that before Wednesday, I'd have probably said no. You ready? 90 bulls, they're in this pen. It's evaluation day. Go get 8 bulls. Bring them through that gate. Bring them down this alley. Put the 8 bulls at the back of this pen. Now the 3 evaluators are going to step in. Cut 1 bull of the 8 out, and he has to stand between. There's my 2 guys, Jesse and Marty. Here's me. The bulls are behind him in this pen. They've all come down this alley, 8. Now we've cut 1 out. Bulls behind us here, bulls there. He's got to stand there by himself. You cut a bull out, There's 90 back there, 80 something back there. And he's got to stand there long enough for you to make a lot of evaluations on him. His masculinity, his thickness, his muscle. Huh? Got to have a pretty good disposition, don't he? But he stands there to be evaluated. And he evaluated, and then when he goes out of there, he goes into the chute to be ultrasounded and all this. Okay? But all of a sudden, out of this pen of 90, in comes this alleyway of bull, and it still goes right in there before evaluation. And when he walked by, I thought, man, that's a steer with testicles. Should I have not said that? In other words, he's not going to make a good bull. He ought to be castrated. He ought to be killed. And I thought, I wonder if he gets culled. Well, in the evaluation, guess what? Us evaluators, the other two agreed. Kill pen. Didn't make the sale. Kill pen. Here in a minute, a bull comes out of there, gets in there, and his disposition is terrible. The only time my hip throbbed out there is when that bull run by me and I tried to step up with the bad leg on. That's the only time it throbbed. And my prayer life was enhanced immensely when he was coming. The one boy said, you got to outrun everybody. And today there's one guy that everybody can outrun. Immediately the evaluation team says, kill pen. Pick up what I'm putting down. All roads lead to God. Everybody's going to come down an alley. And you're going to go to one of two judgments. Are you ready for this? Either the judgment seat of Christ. That means you made heaven. But you will be evaluated on your works, what you've done and not done. But down that same alley, there'll come those that's lost and undone. And it won't be the judgment seat of Christ. It'll be the great white throne judgment. And anybody's name not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. The question was loaded. All roads do lead to God. Every one of us will stand before God. But when that question's asked, don't you ever forget, only one road leads to heaven. And you've got to make sure you know Jesus Christ when you come down that road. And He is judge, and you are guilty, and He will settle your case out of court. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Now we go to K. Now just remember this. I'm on K, and I'm trying to praise the Lord with the ABCs, and I'm on a pretty desolate road. I've been listening to the Patriot radio station. I've been listening about Afghanistan. I've been listening about our political leaders. I've just got through hearing that 12, and I think it's now 13 of our armed forces. I just heard that. And I don't know, but I'm thinking, man, could this have been prevented, yada, yada, yada. And I don't know the answers to all that. But I just come off a road listening to what they think is a political mess, and probably is. And when I come to the K, I got to thinking, thank God it's not a president. Thank God He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I begin to think about when He comes back, He's going to have a robe on, and on His thigh there's going to be a name that's written. And the name that's written is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want you to know there may be what we call the King of Country, the King of Rock and Roll, the King of Pop, but I want to tell you this morning, you can give praise because there's one King of Kings, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then we go to L, and man, I think when you're going to praise Him with L, you got to use love, because 1 John 4:8 says God is love. And then when you begin to think about that love, you think about He demonstrated that love toward us, though while we were sinners, He was on the cross. He died while we were still sinners. And you can go ahead and give Him praise, because I'm going to let you in on something. You've heard it before, and you'll hear it again, but you're going to hear it now. It was not the nails that held Jesus Christ to the cross. It was the love that He had for you and me that held Him on the cross. So we need to praise Him for His love. Amen. And then we go to the M. And immediately, Brother Bob, I thought He's mighty. And then I remembered a sermon I preached. The devil's mighty, but God's almighty. Now, the Bible does call God mighty, but I wasn't about to call Him mighty after I called the devil mighty. I thought, if I'm going to use almighty, I'll have to go back to the A's. And I had quite a while. It was a pretty desolate long drive. But I thought, I'm sure not putting mighty for M, because my God's almighty. And that just saying, He is mighty, but He's almighty. And almighty sounds better. Made me want to know if I needed to redo the A. So what am I going to do with M, God? And I begin to think, man, he's merciful. Old Titus got a letter from the Apostle Paul, and in the 3rd chapter, in the 5th verse, it read, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his, say it with me, mercy, we are saved. And I think to myself, praise God for his mercy. Now I love his grace, because that's when he gives us something we don't deserve. Thank God for grace. But mercy is when he withholds something from us that we do deserve. And let me tell you why you can give him praise for his mercy. Is because you've sinned, I've sinned, and the wages of sin is eternal death in a place called hell, separation from God. And listen, that's what we deserve. But by his mercy, through his death, burial, and resurrection on the old rugged cross, he said, I can withhold from you what you deserve, an everlasting hell. So I just thank God and praise God for his mercy. And then we come to the end. When I come to the end, I thought, man, I've got to praise him because he's got the name above all names. And man, I love Philippians chapter 2, and I love to start at verse 5, and I love to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the song that Miss Addie sang, a little less like me and a little more like Jesus, is what that verse means. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus, who being in the form of God, he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, man, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and he come in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, guess what he done? He humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death. And not just any death. The Bible says, even the death of the cross. And the next word is therefore. Because he wrapped himself in human flesh, humbled himself, and was obedient to God, even to the point of the death of the cross. God said, therefore, because he done that, I will highly exalt him. I will give him a name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow. Those up in heaven, those on earth, those beneath the earth. And let me just tell you, not only every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do some of you remember me telling the story of walking into a local tire shop and two guys was trying to witness to a guy in there, and it was nothing like I think witness or pictured witnessing ought to go. Because when I walked in there, they was telling him all about the Bible and all about Jesus, and I didn't hear a whole bunch of that, but I heard this from that man. I knew better to stop in this little one-horse town because I knew you'd try to cram Jesus and your Bible down my throat. So he was a passerby, I assume. I'm picking up on stuff pretty quick in this little tight, tense place. Now, a good witness, when that's said to him, I'm not sure this was a good witness, jumped up, stuck his finger in that old boy's chest, and said, let me tell you something. If you don't like our little one-horse town, get your blankety-blank in your blankety-blank car and get your blankety-blank out of our little one-horse town. And I'm sitting here thinking, what a way to witness for Jesus. And I said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And when he stepped out of that office and slammed that door, the Lord impressed me to follow. And when he yanked that door open, I said, sir, it's pretty evident that you don't believe God's creator, you don't believe in the Bible, and therefore you probably don't believe whatsoever that Jesus is God's son and died on the cross, was 3 days buried, and then rose again. He said, no, sir, I believe none of it. I said, well, sir, I would hope and pray you'll look into it, because one day Jesus is coming again and you will bow on those knees. And sir, you will confess with that tongue in your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I would love to tell you the Holy Spirit broke him to tears and he knelt down and gave his life to Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, he jumped in the car, slammed the door, slung gravel, and peeled out on the road. And I hope and pray that because of him realizing that the Bible says there's a name above every name, and that name is Jesus. I hope somewhere along the line, maybe the next little one-horse town he passes through, he will realize there is a name above all names, and it's the one that come in likeness of man and was obedient to go to the cross and die, to be buried, and on the third day rise again. And I hope that man gives his heart and life to that man. Because listen, if you give your heart and life to him, you can kneel on your knees and confess with your mouth, he's my Lord. If you don't, he will just be confessed by you as Lord. But he will be confessed Lord, because he has the name above every name. Now listen, I'm having to move on. We're only at O. But I'm driving across here on I-40, or not I-40. I wish it was I-40 at this time. I'm on Highway 40, not Oklahoma, Kansas. And I come to the O, and I just thought of those hard words that I can never say them right, and I can never spell them. You say, what's that, Rob? Omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. I just begin to think, man, he's all-knowing. Remember, the Bible says we need to pray, but don't ever forget this. He knows what you have need of before you ever ask. He wants us to ask, and we're supposed to ask, but isn't it good that he's all-knowing? He knows what we need before we ever ask. I begin to think about he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Man, he's the one that told the wind to hush, and it did. But then I begin to think about he's omnipresent. And I begin to think about how many times I hear, and it's a verse, and it's all right to hear it. I'm not beating up on nobody. Where two or more are gathered, he's there. And every time I hear that verse, I'm thinking, thank God, even when I'm by myself, he promised never to leave me or forsake me, because he's omnipresent. And therefore, I don't mind going by myself, because why? I'm never by myself. He's omnipresent. And then I come to the P, and I think about peace. Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace, but I think about what he told his followers. I give you peace, not as the world knows peace, but I give you my peace. And see, his peace is different from the peace that the world knows. See, when we think of peace, we think no storms, no battles, no wars, huh? But he never said that. He said just the opposite. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I can give you peace. Listen to me. Let me tell you what peace is. Peace is not from storms. Peace is in the midst of a storm. No Jesus, N-O Jesus, no peace, N-O peace. K-N-O Jesus, no Jesus, K-N-O-W, no peace. Amen. We can give him praise because he gives us the peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, what's this guy going to do with the Q driving down this Highway 40? Man, he's the quenching one. Because he's the one that said to the woman at the well, you drink of that water, you're going to thirst again. But if you'll drink of this water that I give you, not going to happen. You'll never thirst again. And then when you go to John chapter 7, I want you guys sanctified imagination get here. And here's what you got to think of before you get yourself really in this setting. You ever pulled up and somebody just be hot, sweaty, miserable? And they see that ice chest, and you look at them, and you see your ice chest, and you open it, and you say, man, do you need a water? And they said, yes, I need a water. We know they're thirsty. We know they're hot. And we know they're thirsty, so we give them water, right? Have you ever watched somebody work? Man, you need some water? Come on, you ever got there? What makes you think they need water is they're hot, they're sweaty, okay? So in John chapter 7, what's happening? It's the last Passover. There's not a bunch of physical people out there that's sweating and thirsty. There's a bunch of spiritually thirsty people. You go read John chapter 7. Jesus stands up with a loud voice. Just like we would see somebody hot and sweaty and want to offer them water, he stands up and he says with a loud voice, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He didn't see them hot and sweaty and physically thirsty. He saw them lost and spiritual thirsty. And he raised his voice and he said, listen, there's something that can quench that spiritual thirst. And if you'll come to me, you can drink. I am the water of life. He's the quencher. But then the R, it's the resurrection. Remember when those two sisters said, you're late. we sent for you when our brother Lazarus was sick, and you just took your own sweet time getting here. And if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died, but now he's dead. And Jesus wept with them, didn't he? But the whole time that they thought he was late, Jesus knew he was right on time. So he looks at the sister and he says, "Hey, I'm the resurrection and the life. He believes in me, though he may die physically, he shall live. He who lives and believes in me shall never die." And he looked at her and he said, "You believe this?" Now Jesus is the one that said, "I'm the resurrection." And I struggle just a little bit when people say that Lazarus was resurrected. Because I think he was resuscitated. I think he called him out of the grave, but he had to die somewhere down the line. And so many times we look at Lazarus as a resurrection and I say, "Man, he's resuscitated. You was resuscitated, Bob. But one day you'll be resurrected." But you wouldn't be resurrected if it wasn't for Jesus saying, "I'm the resurrection and the life." And the reason I say Lazarus was resuscitated is because my Bible says on that resurrection day, Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. That means he's the first resurrection. And if he's the first fruits of the resurrection, we can look forward to not just being resuscitated one day. We can look forward to being resurrected out of the grave. Amen. Because he's the resurrection. And then we move on to S, and that's the Savior. Now, let's sanctify to me. Can you imagine his praise service? You should have been in that Challenger. I'm thinking, "S, Savior." And I'm thinking, man, right out here in this desolate place, that reminds me of Luke chapter 2. Remember what them angels was doing, or them shepherds was doing? They're watching their sheep by night. And remember what happened? Angel shows up. Great light shines around them. And you know what the Bible says the shepherds done when that happened? Yeah, something like that. It says they were greatly afraid. And you know what the shepherds said? "Don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings and great joy. And it's for white people." No, it doesn't say that, does it? They're greatly afraid, and the angels didn't say, "I bring you tidings and great joy," but it's just for the Indian folk, the red folk. Ain't what he says. They're greatly afraid and they're scared, and the angel doesn't say, "I bring you good tidings and great joy," and it's for the black people. That is not what it says. These shepherds are scared, my dear friends. They're afraid, and the angels make the announcement, "Listen, don't be afraid. Good tidings and great joy, and it's for all people this day in the city of David. Unto you a Savior is born." Aren't you glad there was a Savior born that day? You better be glad there's a Savior born that day, because the penalty of sin, you needed saved from it. That's an everlasting hell. The power of sin, you need to be saved from it, because it's a stronghold. And one day that Savior will come again and take us to a place where he will even save us from the very presence of sin. We can give him praise because he's Savior. And then we go to the T. Now the T was easy for me. I'm the way, the... Now just keep in mind, I just exited I-70 and I'm trying to figure out what truth's on that radio station. Keep in mind, you turn on a TV, you wonder which station's giving you truth and you can't figure it out. You turn on social media, you can't find out what truth is. Folks, we live in a world where it's so hard to find the truth. But don't ever forget, we got right here in our hands the whole truth and nothing but the truth. When you can't find truth nowhere else, open up your Bible and you'll find the one that said, "I am the truth." And all God's people ought to give him praise for being the truth. Amen. And then I come to the T and I think, man, what am I going to, or the you, and I begin to think, man, what is he? And I thought, he's the unchanging one. I mean, I just come off I-70, I'm listening to all the goings on, and I'm thinking about how the world has changed. And let me just say something to you young whippersnappers here. And you middle age, that's my age, whippersnappers. And when we want to do something different, you look at the old codgers. And here's what I hear coming out of the young whippersnappers and the middle whippersnappers' mouths. them old codgers, they just don't like change. You know, one day I heard that. They just won't change. And I want to stop and preach here just a minute. I didn't do it at 8, and I didn't do it at 9:30. Let me tell you, young whippersnappers, and let me remind you, middle-agers. Those old codgers have seen more change than you alive will ever see. You think about when they was a kid, and you think about what life was like then, and you think about life now. You young whippersnappers, you better believe the old codgers, they know more, they forgot more about change than you'll ever know. You get that? Don't forget it. But when I give Him praise, He's the unchanging one, because my Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We live in a world that is changing so fast, and people are changing, but isn't it good to know that we can praise God because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? And then I get to the V, and I think, it's easy, man. He's the vine. John chapter 15. I'm the vine, and you're the branches, Jesus said. Who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, and without me you can do nothing. Let me just tell you something. I can praise Him because I know if I go cut a branch off the vine, that it's useless. It's going to dry up, it's going to shrivel up, and it can never bear fruit. But when I see a vine that's connected to the branch, I can praise God because it's alive and it's a well and it can produce fruit. And you need to just give praise to God because He's the vine, you're the branches, and if you abide in Him and He in you, you can produce much fruit. Amen? Without Him, you can do nothing, but with Him, you can do all things. And then we come to W. And I thought, He's the Word. I thought of John chapter 5, verse 39. And He says, you search the Scriptures, and these are these which testify of me, and in them you have eternal life. I think about the Hebrew writer simply saying, it is written of him in the volume of the book. I think about, man, he was here as the living Word, but thank God I've got the written Word. And when we search the Scriptures and they are them that testify of Him, and in the volume of the book it's written of Him, that means any time I open this Bible, Jesus Christ will leap off of each and every page into our lives. So He's the Word. Now what in the tarnation? I'm on Highway 40. It's a desert place. And the next letter's, there ain't just a whole lot of words that start with X. And you'd be amazed of how fast the Word come. He's the X-ray man. Now where did I go into Scripture to realize that? I go to where Jesse was told to go get your boys. I'm going to anoint one king. Everybody look up here. Jesse went to get the boys. Looked them over. Calls them all to himself, and can you imagine little old David coming? Man, just got him a new hit. And Jesse saying, just stay here. Maybe he was a good dad, didn't call him a runt, but he probably thought, he's the runt. Just stay here, David, right? And then they're all lined up before Samuel. I'm talking about, I praise him because he's the X-ray man. Samuel's looking at them all, and God says, he's not here. Because man looks on the outward appearance. I look on the heart. Jesse had to go get David. And the world look on the outward appearance and says he's not fit for a king. But the X-ray man, he looked at his heart. Please look up here and hear me today. You can fool the people all around you because they're looking on the outward man. But don't you ever forget, God's the X-ray man. He can see the heart. And don't forget, the Word of God tells us it's wicked, exceedingly wicked. And when He looks at your heart, He'll let you know it's wicked and you need a heart transplant. And He's the same God that says, I'll give you a new heart for a new start. Ain't you glad He's the X-ray man? And then we can continue to go on. We're at 25, and that's why. Why? Not why. Why? Why? Yeah, why? Thank you. Terry, give it to me. Why? Thank you. I needed that bad. Preacher always loves when his parishioners will help him when he gets up here and gets in a bind. The why is for yoke. See, we hear often Matthew 11:28 when Jesus says, "Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so often we don't go ahead with verse 29 and 30 where he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly." Did you know we had a gentle and lowly God? "I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light." A lot of people often tell me, "You better slow down, boy. You're going to burn out or you're going to wear out." And when I got to that motel room Thursday evening and I opened up my calendar that I hadn't opened up in a few days, and I began to, from that motel room, make calls to preachers and where all I'm supposed to be, that September and October calendar is very intimidating to me. Because I don't know how, other than the grace of God, I'll get to wherever the place I'm supposed to be scheduled in these next 2 months. But you look up here and listen to me. In the midst of that, sometimes I do begin to wear out. And in the midst of that, sometimes I begin to do exactly what people worry about, and I feel a little burn. But I can praise God, because the split second I feel a little wore out, and a split second I feel a little burnout, I can just take me to a little trip to Jesus. And I say, "I'm wearing out and I'm burning out." And he just simply whispers, "Wrong yoke. I never meant for it to be that way." And man, it just gives me a burst of energy to continue on, because I realize the reason I'm burning out and the reason I'm wearing out is I've got on my yoke and not his yoke. And I could really give him praise when it come to the why for being the yoke. Amen. And then verse 26. Ain't there 26 letters in the alphabet? And the last one is Z, right? I thought, he's a zealous God. And I read Isaiah chapter 59, and he was really displeased with what he saw from heaven. And he says in verse 17 of Isaiah 59, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. This is Jesus. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. But listen to the last line in this verse. And was clad with zeal as a cloak. He was clad with zeal as a cloak. See, what God understood, the only way that sinful man could again have a relationship with a holy God was through a sinless sacrifice. And so God steps down and he put a cloak, he clad with zeal as a cloak. In other words, he was zealous to get to the cross. Can you imagine? He come down, "I'm zeal, enthusiastic, excited. Man, I can't wait to get on that cross to get beaten. I can't wait till they nail me to it." Come on, you think he was looking forward to the beating? You think he was really zealous about nails being drove through his hand? That wasn't what the zeal was about. The zeal was about what it was going to bring. With that cross, it was going to be the bridge for sinful man back to a holy God. Jesus come with a zeal to die for us. Therefore, I'm always going to have a zeal to live for him. How about Titus chapter 2? He gave himself for us that he might purify for himself his own special people. You ready for this? Zealous for good works. If he had a zeal to die for me, Dave, or to have a zeal to live for him. And all God's people said, amen and amen. 26-point sermon, and it's still just 7 after. And let me just close by saying this. The world we live in really feels a whole lot like Highway 40 from Oakley, Kansas to Cheyenne Wells, Colorado. And when life feels like that, just remember, did he move every mountain? Did he part every sea? Yes, he did. So yes, he can. when life feels like Highway 40 between Oakley, Kansas and Cheyenne Wells, Colorado, just remember, did He defeat darkness? Did He deliver me? Yes, He did. So, yes, He can. Yes, He did. So, yes, He can. So when life seems like that, all you got to do is remember your ABCs and give Him praise with every letter of the alphabet. And I promise you, He can make you feel like you're in the mountains in the middle of a prairie. Let's all stand. Father, we love You. We praise You. And we thank You for the yes You dids and the Bible reminding us, so yes You can. Father, I pray today that in this altar call, we would go back to the letter J, and that's simply judge. All roads do lead to God. And there is people here today that saved, born again, headed down the alleyway, the road to the judgment seat of Christ. And you are going to be standing before God. There may be people in front of, behind you, but you're there all alone. And you're going to be evaluated by your works. Did you witness? Did you study the Word of God? Did you pray? Did you trust? Did you attend church? You're going to be evaluated with, the Bible says, the words that come out of your mouth. The way that you walk through life, speaking of your conduct. You're headed up the alleyway, and one day you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ to be evaluated. Paul said, examine yourself, see if you be the faith. But I think we ought to examine ourselves and see what our life looks like before we stand before God. When they evaluate those bulls, they're scored from 1 to 5. And if they get a 5-star, that's the best of the best. Our desire ought to be 5-star Christians in every aspect of her life. I don't think one bull out of 250 got 5 straight across the board. And I'm not sure that any Christian will get 5 straight across the board. But listen, that shouldn't keep us from trying to be the best we can. You're headed to an evaluation day. You'll stand before Jesus. Wouldn't you want some 5s by your name? The altars are open. If you've been less than that, you can get on your knees and ask God to forgive you, and you can change that from this point on. And your evaluation at the judgment seat of Christ can be so much better. Altars are open. Would you come, believers? Would you come? And what might move you out of that seat is to know that one day you will head down an alleyway and you will stand before God. And that might move you out of your seat down the aisleways of this church building. And as Christians come to desire to be a better Christian for Christ, if you're here today, you're lost and undone. All roads lead to God. And if you've never been saved, you will stand before Him one day. And let me just tell you, you're guilty. If your name's not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll be cast in the lake of fire. But let me just tell you something about this judge. He's more than willing and desiring to settle your case out of court. Today you realize you're guilty and need to be saved. Step out of that seat and come. And He says, I'll settle this deal out of court. And you won't have to spend eternity in hell. If you need to come for salvation, you come. Because listen, although all roads lead to God, only one pathway leads to heaven. And that's Jesus Christ. You need to come, you come. Father, have Your way in the hearts of us, Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.